Everyone, and welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Now, the Middle East Appeal. There will be a retiring collection for the Christian Aid Middle East Appeal, both this morning and next Sunday, and there is a tray for the money out in the vestibule. No Zoom option on next week. Apologies, but we cannot manage Zoom next week, the 22nd, due to holidays. Community Cinema. The Sanctuary Cinema will be showing its first film of the winter season on Thursday the 26th October at 1 p.m. The film is The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. See poster for more details. Blythewood Care Shoebox Appeal 2023. The church is once again supporting the Blythewood Care Shoebox Appeal. Last year, 88,816 shoeboxes were delivered to people in need across Eastern Europe. You can help by filling a shoebox, donating items from the list, which we'll use to fill shoeboxes, a donation of money towards transport costs, pray for the people who will receive the boxes. Leaflets are available in vestibule or can be downloaded from the Blythewood Care website. Donations can be made until the 29th of October. Hats, scarves and gloves suitable for the shoebox appeal will be on sale each Sunday in the Irene Patterson Room, priced £7 per set. Christmas Fair, donations wanted. Our Christmas Craft Fair will take place on Saturday the 4th November. There will be lots of stalls in church offering products from local crafters. Teas and coffees will be served on demands. In preparation for the fair, donations of craft and or Christmas items for the church stall will be welcome. Please contact Dot Downey on 881379. There is also a sheet in the vestibule for recording anyone who wants to help. Further intimations. There are further intimations in the printed sheet. This is available on our website or via our Facebook page if you do not have a copy. Next, a quick look at the order of service. And I'll hand you over to Alistair, who is leading our service today. Thank you.
Good morning. Morning. And regarding the order of service, just a reminder that there is another hymn between the, or just after our talk this morning. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's sing hymn 124. Praise to the Lord. 124.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Blessed are you, Lord God, from the first of time to the last. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power, the glory, the splendour and the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the sovereignty, and you are exalted over all as head. Wealth and honour come from you. You rule over all. Of our own we now give you, for the good of your church and the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So let's come before God in prayer. God, may every living soul bless your name. May all created things give you glory and thanksgiving. Eternally you are God, and no one can stand before you. Who but you offers freedom and help, nourishes and redeems us, sustains and saves us, and at all times views with unfailing compassion our sorrow and distress. There is no one but you. O Lord, ruler of the world, even while the earth was without form, you were king, and you will still reign when all things are brought to an end. You are supreme, and you will never be equalled. You are power and might. There is neither beginning nor end in you. If our lips could sing as many songs as there are waves in the sea, if our tongues could sing as many hymns as there are ocean billows, if our mouths filled the whole firmament with praise, if our faces shone like the sun and moon together, if our hands were to hover in the sky like powerful eagles, and our feet ran across mountains so swiftly as a deer, all that would not be enough to pay you fitting tribute, O Lord our God. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives your service find, in deeper reverence praise. Almighty God, forgive us our needless doubts, our anger, our pride, our little respect and wandering thoughts when in your presence. We are truly sorry and ask pardon for our sins as we name them in the silence before you. Drop your still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our lives the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of your peace. And Heavenly Father, hear us now as we join him together in saying these words of prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let's sing our next hymn. It's number 198. Let us build a house. 198. God is pictured as a shepherd in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. This analogy is in danger of passing us by in modern Western society, as the work of a shepherd is seldom seen. Suffice to say that to be a shepherd in the dry land of Palestine was an exhausting job. Shepherds constantly had to watch over their flocks, regularly taking them to sources of water, finding and returning strays, fighting off wild animals that threatened the flock, and counting the sheep or goats in and out, counting them in at the end of the day, watching over them at night. And that's also a picture of God's complete care for us every day of our lives. The shepherd is totally responsible for his sheep. He knows them by name. He feeds them, guides them, and defends them with his life. And the Lord's commitment to us is complete. Indeed, the shepherd has already laid down his life for us. God has given us everything we need, all the strength, all the patience, all the wisdom, all the passion, all the love that Jesus exhibited in his life is there for us too. In the busyness and pressures of life, he promises rest, filling every day with relentless activity or relentless monotony. Frustrations or worry do not lead to contentment, and we want the peace of his presence to be part of our lives. Unfortunately, feeling weary, dried up, beaten down by life's pressures are part of life. It's even part of the Christian life, and that's why we need to be restored regularly in our inner being. This life isn't an existence you put up with until the next life comes along. Your home is not a sheep pen where you're stuck waiting to be with the Lord or for him to return. You still have a life to live. Think of the situations you've come through in life and thank him for every situation, past or present or future, no matter how hopeless it appears. There's always a right way to go, a right path to take. Sometimes we may think that God has got it wrong, and maybe, if we're honest, we've told him so. There you are in the dark valley, waiting patiently for the cavalry to appear on the horizon, or the sound of the helicopter that's going to airlift you out of there. And all he says is, keep on walking. A gentle rod in the back is not necessarily our ideal picture of comfort, but it tells us that he is with us in all that we go through. And it's all we need to know. Even through the valley of the shadow of death. It's the one path we know that we're going to walk one day. But thank him that it's only a shadow, and the light beyond it is an indescribable, beautiful light. Psalm 23, the psalmist says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, God knows we prefer a quiet table in the corner for dinner. But enjoying the delights of God in full view of a world that hates us, at least it shows what they're missing, and the feast becomes an invitation. Ask for his blessing and all that you do for him, and ask for his refreshing for your inner being. And the Lord is your shepherd. You live one day at a time. Someone has said that the average person has been crucified between two thieves, the regret of yesterday and the worry of tomorrow, and consequently we can't enjoy today. You couldn't ask for two better bodyguards or sheepdogs, goodness and mercy. And even when the path isn't clear, or we've deliberately chosen to explore a hazardous cliff edge, as we'll discover later on, goodness and mercy are close behind. When the Lord is your shepherd, you listen for his voice. And how do we listen for his voice? Through the word of God. When the Lord is your shepherd, you must expect changes. Expect them, don't be afraid of them. Be thrilled when you hear his voice, for it's a sound you're going to hear and delight in forever. And so we all find ourselves walking through dark valleys from time to time. There may be valleys of various pressures, and depression, illness, loss, fear. All things that can make us feel that the shepherd is far away from us. And also some people fail to adapt to life's inevitable changes. And what is our response at this time? Do we turn away from God or do we turn to him? You need never fear the future. Trust in the shepherd who goes before you and listen to his word. Commit each day to the Lord and thank him for his guidance. Stay close to him when things are difficult. Spend time alone with him. Strengthen your relationship with others around you and trust him not only in the good times but also in the bad. The Apostle Paul would have known this psalm well. Indeed, would have known all the psalms. And perhaps, I'm sure he would have known Jesus as his shepherd too, the Lord as his shepherd. And perhaps that's behind his writing of many of his letters, his pastoral letters, including his one to the Philippians. So let's hear now, let's listen to Rob as he's going to read these two passages for us this morning.
The first reading is from the Old Testament, Book of Psalms, Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second reading is from the Philippians, New Testament, chapter 4, from verses 1 to 9. And the first passage is headed, Closing Appeal for Steadfastness and Unity. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Eudia, and I plead with Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. The next part's titled Final Exhortations. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Rob. So let's continue now by singing hymn 551, in Heavenly Love Abiding, 551. Jack was walking along the top of a steep cliff, when he got too close to the edge and fell. On the way down, he grabbed a branch which stopped his fall. And he looked down, and to his horror, he saw that the canyon dropped straight down about 1,000 feet. He couldn't hang on to the branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb down the steep side of the cliff. So Jack began yelling for help, hoping that someone passing would hear him and lower a rope or something. Help! Help! Is there anyone up there? Help! And he yelled for hours, but no one heard him. He was about to give up when he heard a voice. Jack? Jack? Can you hear me? Yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm down here. I can see you, Jack. Are you all right? Yes, but who are you and where are you? I am the Lord, Jack. I'm everywhere. The Lord? You mean God? That's me. Oh God, please help me. I promise if you get me down from here, I'll stop sinning. I'll be a really good person. I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Easy on the promises, Jack. Let's just get you down from there and then we can talk. Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully. I'll do anything, Lord. Just tell me what to do. Okay. Let go of the branch. What? I said, let go of the branch. Just trust me. Let go. There's a long silence. Finally, Jack yelled, help, help, is there anyone else up there? Maybe you felt like Jack now and again, hanging on to dear life by your fingertips. You know that God will eventually rescue you, but perhaps you start getting a bit impatient and look elsewhere in the wrong places for some help. But that's part of our discipleship. And as we know, life can be difficult. And we know that God is always there for us. He promises that He will be. And He just says, let go. Are you living a life of peace, or is your life in pieces? Philippians is a comparative rarity, a letter to a church Paul founded and with which he is well pleased. And Paul emphasises the importance of concentrating on the essentials, and he stresses the importance of the cross and resurrection. He draws attention to the way the gospel is advanced through his own suffering. An important thing is service to Christ. We are called to do good works, not to earn salvation, but in thankfulness for it. And as Catherine Booth pointed out, good works don't make you a Christian. She said, praise up humanitarianism as much as you like, but don't confound it with Christianity, nor suppose that it will ultimately lead its followers to Christ. Paul exhorts us to stand firm in the middle of any struggles we may go through for the sake of the gospel. Because of Christ's resurrection, and indeed our own future resurrection, we know that serving Him is not empty, useless activity. Our labour in the Lord is not in vain. Paul has a deep yearning and intense, compassionate love for his brothers and sisters, the kind of love Jesus has for us. And as Christians, we too should have that intense care and concern for each other. Offer a word of encouragement to someone who's feeling low. Comfort someone who's hurting. Choose to be tender-hearted when you've been hurt by another. Show compassion to those who are bereaved. We are meant to be a church fellowship. Paul calls us to be right, not in the sense of that, you know, I'm right, everybody else is wrong. He calls us to be in a right relationship with each other, and of course with God. Now, we don't know what Euodia and Syntyche were disagreeing about, but it was serious enough to be mentioned in this letter, which should have been read out to the whole congregation. How many saints are remembered forever in the Bible for their positive contribution to God's cause? Imagine if you're only remembered for your argumentative behaviour. Paul encourages the others at the church to help the women reconcile the differences. He was eager to have them settle the dispute, probably because it crippled their work with the others. And disputes in churches are nothing new and not uncommon. Yet how much damage they can do. Anything from an offhand remark to cliques to power struggles that boil over. And trying to resolve them can take a huge amount of time and energy, which is directed away from the actual work of the church. Be of the same mind in the Lord, says Paul. As Christians, we are in union with the Lord, and so we should be in union with each other. And that's not to say that we're not allowed to have differing opinions or viewpoints. But remember your unity as brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's not about uniformity. A Kirk session, for example, the elders should be of one heart and mind, with a common desire to work together and serve one another, having the attitude of Christ. Very Reverend Susan Brown was moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland in 2018. It so happened to be the 50th anniversary of the ordination of the first woman minister in the Church of Scotland, which is perhaps why she was chosen to be moderator that year. However, women in ministry is nothing new. Yodia and Syntyche being just two of many women who played a role in the spread of the gospel and the development of the early church. And Paul had no qualms about working for the cause of the gospel with women he regarded as his equal and not subordinates. And it's quite significant that he mentions that they contended at his side, whatever their particular role was. But we can assume that they had an effective ministry. They weren't just there to make the tea and wash the dishes. So as well as being in a right relationship, Paul calls us to have right reactions to problems, to people, to pressure. When these threaten to overwhelm us, what are we to do? Rejoice always, under all kinds of circumstances, including suffering. Rejoice. What? Well, James, in his letter, agrees. Says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of various kinds. As does Peter in his first letter. Rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Of course, it's not rejoicing in your circumstances as such, as rejoicing in the fact that Jesus is in your circumstances alongside you. Rejoice. And that advice came from a man in prison facing death, a man who had been stoned and beaten and hounded by the mob. Yet experiences that leave others bitter and sour leave Paul overflowing with joy. Billy Graham once said that the Christian life is a joyful life. Christianity was never meant to be something to make people miserable. The ministry of Jesus Christ was one of joy. The Bible teaches that a life of inward peace and outward victory is a Christian's birthright. And again, what a witness to the world Christians would be, wrote Amy Carmichael, if only there were more evidently very happy people. Joy is one of the marks of a true believer. Will others see the joy of Christ in your life today? Be gentle, writes Paul. Be considerate to others. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Well, it wasn't all the time. But we know that, but those are the qualities we should have. While the Bible is not primarily a moral handbook, the New Testament, for example, does not solely point us to a personal salvation, but there's much to teach us about practical living, our discipleship. Meekness and gentleness are especially essential for church leaders, including elders. And Timothy and Titus give qualifications for elders. For example, Timothy says, an overseer must not be given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. And Titus says, and an overseer or elder has to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. Do not be anxious. Despite the phrase, do not be afraid or do not fear, being in the Bible 366 times, somebody has counted, once for each day of the year, including leap year, all of us at some time become anxious. It may be a health scare, a bullying boss, or pressures of work or of home. And understandably, it affects our thinking and our emotions, but we can let it become our complete focus. Centred on ourselves, worry can become counterproductive, so that our worry becomes a bigger issue than the original problem. Believe me, I know. Paul would say that our cares and our concerns should be for the spread of the gospel and our Christian life. And perhaps that's why he could say, rejoice. Whatever the problem, as Peter writes in his first letter, cast all your anxiety on him, on God, because he cares for you. Pray. And all these things are not necessarily a checklist to go through. But it's true, though, that some think of prayer as a last resort. I'm sure we probably all know the hymn and have sung it often enough, but have we taken in the words? What a friend we have in Jesus. Have we trials and temptations? Are we weak and heavy laden? Take it to the Lord in prayer. The antidote to anxiety and worry. Thank him that he's your friend and that he's beside you. Tell him what's happening. Not that he doesn't know that already. Offload your cares on the one who cares for you. Nothing is beyond him. Receive his peace, and not necessarily just a calmness of mind, but an inner peace despite the circumstances. His is a real peace, cancelling out the anxiety. Right relationship, right reactions. We also need some right thinking. Having emptied our minds of worry, the next step is to fill them with the sort of things that will shape a truly Christian character. Paul understood the influence of thoughts on our lives, and what you allow to occupy your mind will sooner or later determine your speech and your actions. A growing problem affecting our country is pornography, affecting men, women and children. It's perhaps an issue maybe hasn't come up or doesn't come up very often in ordinary conversation with your neighbour as you discuss the weather, but it is a big issue. Maybe it's something that some find uncomfortable or embarrassing, and don't mean to make anyone feel that, but it is a growing issue. With the advent of the smartphone, porn websites have become accessible anytime, anywhere. Just like the old martini advert, anytime, anywhere. Not just in the privacy of a home computer. Children and young people have instant access. According to research, a staggering 94% of teenagers have seen porn by the age of 14. And they think that what they see is normal, and so shapes their expectations of relationships as they grow older. And sadly, this has led to so-called sexting, or even rape and sexual assault. For example, for a wife to discover her husband is addicted, it can have a devastating effect on their relationship, with many women suffering the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Of course, it can be the other way around. Women are just as likely as men to become addicted. Apparently, one in three porn sites are visited by women. I don't think it's only people out there in the big bad world who are caught up in that sort of stuff. Surveys have shown that 75% of Christian men admitted to watching porn at least monthly. How true is the saying, don't give the devil a foothold? Once this gets hold of a person, just like drug or alcohol misuse, it can become an addiction and all-consuming. There's the constant thought of when they can get their next fix. And of course, more and more is needed to satisfy the craving. The golden rule avoid and run. And because of its shame and secrecy, which are blocks to people seeking help, you may not think it's a big issue. But if it's talked about, including in our churches, then maybe those affected in whatever way will come forward. As a church, we're not here to condemn, but to offer pastoral support, to listen, to offer compassion and counsel. We've already considered Psalm 23 this morning, and as we realise, it depicts the Lord as a great shepherd living for his sheep. It gives us assurance that the Lord is with us every single day of our lives, no matter what. Not just in the good times, not just in the difficult times, but also in that final walk through to our eternal home. And so, stand firm, be of the same mind, rejoice, be gentle, don't be anxious, pray, think of anything praiseworthy. Practice these things, says Paul. This is practical theology, maturing in the Christian life. Right relationships, right reactions, right thinking. So basically, grow in your love for God and for each other. Grow in your knowledge of God and of yourself. Receive the God of peace and discover the peace of God. Amen. So our next hymn is not on the screen, it's in the hymn book. It's 536. May the mind of Christ my Saviour. 536. course, it's not just the music, it's the words that are important too, of course. And if I could sing it, I'd sing you the tune I know. Maybe try that in private sometime. So let's come before God once more with our prayers for others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the completeness of your care for us. Thank you that you supply us with everything we need, that you come even closer to us when we stray from the path, and that you bless us with every spiritual blessing. Not because we've earned it, but because it's purely your gracious love given to us. We know that we are safe in your hands forever. As violence and tensions increase, we pray for the swift de-escalation to the violence and in Israel and Palestine. We pray for peace to prevail, and we intercede for all those in Israel and Palestine caught up in these unfolding events. God of light and salvation, our refuge and our strength, we pray for the people of Israel and Palestine amid this escalating violence. We pray for those injured by rockets from Gaza in southern Israel. May your rod and staff comfort them. We pray for those who are grieving. May they know your ever-present help. We pray for the protection of those who have been taken hostage by Hamas. As they walk through this dark valley, may they fear no evil. We pray for the civilians of Gaza. May they know that their help comes from the Maker of heaven and earth. And we especially remember all of those who have been killed and wounded in Gaza. May you comfort and heal those who are in pain and those who have lost loved ones. And we pray for those in leadership in Gaza and Israel. May you guide them along the right paths. And we ask all this in union with Christ and trusting in the power of your Holy Spirit. God of all grace, call the nations of the earth to cease from strife, that all may join to fight not one another, but their common foes of want and ignorance, disease and sin. Lead back mankind out of the way of death unto the way of life, and from destruction to the building up of a new world of righteousness and peace, of liberty and joy. End the dark night of lies and cruelty. Bring in the dawn of mercy and truth. Loving Father, thank you for seeing and hearing every human being in their distress, and for sending Christ to die for us while we were powerless, alienated from you and dead in our sin. Please raise up men and women of compassion to speak up for the voiceless and vulnerable, to bring them freedom, justice and relief. So in the silence of this moment, we bring to you our own personal prayers for those in need of your loving care at this time. So Father, please hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's bring our service to a close as we sing hymn 449, Rejoice, the Lord is King. 449. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.